and thank God for that. Well, we're going to continue on in the book of Judges. We'll continue on with the series of some couples in the Bible, and this would be Manoah and his wife. These would be Samson's parents, and we'll look into this passage. We'll look at Judges chapter 13. You find your place there, 13 and 14, and we're going to find that sometimes we get discouraged. This couple did as well, and they had good reason to be discouraged. The children of Israel did evil again, the Bible says, in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the land of the Philistines 40 years. And so we see that's the first verse. We'll look at others here. But we see that they were discouraged. It had to have been. They were in a spot where they'd been delivered into the hand of the enemy, the Philistines. And sometimes we get down and out and think, oh, it's so hard for us to be a Christian. Oh, it's wonderful to be a Christian. Yes. But we think, well, our life is rough. I think about Katie playing the piano here, her and Johnny married not long ago this year and last year, and thinking that, wow, it's so hard to stand. I think about other couples in our church, Preston and Hannah. I had little Nate just fellowship with them over in the Family Life Center the other night. Think about Logan and Josie and different couples here. And it's easy to say, oh, it's such a hard time to live. This wasn't no picnic either then. Because these people, the ones that were trying to seek the Lord, the Jewish folks that were trying to seek Him, they had been delivered into the hand of the Philistines, the Bible says. And in verse number 2, there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren, and she bare not. And so in that day, that would have been a great disappointment. And the angel of the Lord, though, is going to appear to them. And so there were some people that were trying to live for the Lord. And so lest we ever get to this spot thinking, boy, it's so hard to live for Jesus in these days. And that's true. But can I remind you that it's always been against culture, countercultural, to live for God. Doesn't matter whether you live in this generation, the last one, the one before that, or the one before that. You remember that they, or you not because you lived in them, but you know from history, they called the Roaring Twenties the Roaring Twenties. And they weren't doing that because the flames of revival were so hot around there. It was because of a lot of wickedness going on and a lot of worldliness. And so it's always been a decision that Christians had to make, that I want to live for the Lord. Well, it was no different in the Bible times. So we're looking at Manoah now. This is going to be Samson's dad and his wife. And so they're parents of Samson, and Samson has much to say about him in the book of Judges. He has some very strong moments, and then he has some very weak moments, of course. And we're going to look at some of the moments from his parents, and trust we'll get some principles that will help us out. We're going to look, first of all, in verse number 4. We looked at verse 1 and 2, but let's look at verse number 4 of chapter 13. Now, therefore, beware, I pray thee. Well, you can look at verse 3. The angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, said unto her, behold, now thou art barren, bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Rejoicing is none certainly coming upon her. Now, therefore, the angel says, beware, I pray thee, drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So we're going to look, first of all, at the command that they're given by the angel that God has sent to them, and we're going to see what the angel commands them. We're going to realize, first of all, like about every other area of our life, that first of all, the angel is going to hammer on the person that is leading this thing. We see the command of the parents. The command of the parents is this: I want you to do this. I want you to pray thee, in verse 4, drink not wine, strong drink, eat not anything. And so he gives the command to the parents, getting mom and dad ready long before the baby comes along, getting them to be where they're supposed to. And if you're going to have a home that's honoring to God, mom and dad need to be the ones that are leading the way in that. You know, you have all of these other things that you do when babies are on the way. Of course, many of you have been through that, and some of you are going through it the second time with grandchildren, but you put outlet covers on the plugs, you put those little locks on the cabinets, at least the ones that have Drano and different chemicals in there, and you try to baby safety the house up there. You try to put all these expensive things, take them off the bottom shelf, put them up a little higher so the little hands can't get them. You do all of these things because parents need to get their house in order before a baby comes to visit. Well, that's what God sends the angel to do to Manoah and to his wife. And he gives the commands to the parents and says, this is what I want you to do. But not only that, in verse 5, he says, thou shall no razor shall come on his head, for the child should be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And so not only does he give the command to the parents, but then he goes and he gives a command to the child or for the child. Now, God's not telling them all the things that they need to be doing, but he's giving them some guidelines, some guardrails, if you will. And he tells them to do this and don't do that. Now, here's the thing. These commands that were given to Manoah and his wife haven't been given to somebody else. They haven't been given to you. You don't have to say, well, if we have a baby, we'll make sure we don't cut his hair either. Just let it grow long. There was a reason that God did that in that particular time. And so I'm not here to give you the big list of what you ought to do or what somebody else ought to do as they raise their children, although there's many things in the Bible that tell you that. But my point in covering this is that God tells parents to have guidelines. You know that if you're going to have an argument, which you aren't very smart to do it, I guess, but you're going to have an argument with your teenage son or your teenage daughter or whoever it is, and you think that I'm going to present my case in such a way that they'll be awestruck and they'll be glad to listen to what it is that I have to say. When a child asks you, or when a teenager that's 16, when they ask you that if they can borrow your car, do you know the only answer is going to make them happy? Sure. It doesn't matter how much explanation comes before the word no, you're not going to win any friends when you say no. But mom and dad say no a lot. And we have a, I don't know what it is, it's a horrible situation in our nation where it seems like parents don't want to say no because they want to let them do as much as they can. But here's what I find faulty about that. We see that they say yes, 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 until they just get so fed up, and then they come down harder than they would have if they just set some boundaries and some guidelines and said no all along in the places that they should have said no. You've watched parents do that. They just get a little bit more upset. They get a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. And then finally, they blow like a geyser. And then it just gets problems for everybody. What they would have been better off to do is, like I'm trying to apply here with Manoah and his wife, the guidelines that we're not supposed to do, this is what we are going to do, and we're going to follow that and say no, and we're in a calm tone, and we're not going to be yelling, and as opposed to some of the people that you see at Food City, that they said yes as long as they could stand it, and then finally when the little terror wouldn't do anything, then they said no in a very mean way and got embarrassed themselves, embarrassed you, embarrassed everybody. But we see here that the parents are supposed to have some guidelines. It's the same way today. If you're the parents, you're the grandparents, whoever it is, and you ought to realize that those children need some godly, biblical guidelines. And where's a good part? I don't have to tell you all, you're here on a Wednesday night. If you've got children, they're downstairs or upstairs over here. It's a great thing to say, this is what we do. We're going to have our children in church. And so we see the command of the parents, stay away from this and don't do the other. And then we see some commands given to the child. That's their command. But we see that they've got more than that. We've got that their call, because they've got the command of the Lord to do this. But I'm going to specifically look back at what they're asking the angel about some things. Look down in verse number 8. Manoah and his wife here, then Manoah entreated the Lord. He asked the Lord, begged the Lord, asked the angel there. He said, oh, my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us. Send that angel back, Lord, as he's praying here, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And so we see that Manoah and his wife, they had this seeking attitude, if you want to fill in your gap there and your blank. They've got this seeking attitude. They said, Lord, would you send back that angel? We've got some questions that we want to ask. First, Miss Manoah sees the angel, and then Manoah wants to get in on it. And so he says, please, Lord, send that angel back. Verse number 9, and God hearkened to the voice of Manoah. And the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And so we see that they wanted to know God's will. Look down at verse number 12. Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. And it's a wonderful phrase. I love this when sometimes use it when we're trying to teach some parenting classes and things. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? We oftentimes look for advice from all different kinds of sources, and that's fine, wonderful. But we need to be certain that we're asking the Lord, looking in His Word, and asking godly people. You know, you move to the New Testament and talks about the older men teaching the younger men and the older women teaching the younger women about how they're supposed to do. If you're raising children, you've got a great and wonderful resource right here about people that are associated with this church, and look at them and that they've already gone through some of the things that you're currently going through. And I find one reason why I don't ask people, and this is, will shock us all, it's pride. We've just gotten into this society, into this current generation, where we don't want to admit that we don't know something. Instead, we'd rather get my phone. You can Google it. You can look it up on some other webpage. You can find all kinds of stuff. And if we're not careful, we don't utilize the godly examples that God's put right around us. But we see that Manoah, he gives this good testimony. He's got a seeking attitude. He wants to know God's will. They want to see what God would like for them to do. How shall we order the child, Lord? Well, that's not only in child rearing, but that's in every other area. We should be on our knees, figuratively or literally, and saying, Lord, how should we do this thing? And what should we be involved in next? And how should we order the steps that you've let us take? And so Manoah and his wife, they wanted to know things. The Bible says, ye shall seek me and find me when you seek for me with all of your heart. May it never be named among us. They said, well, I didn't know what to do. My friend, if we don't know what to do, then that would be on us, not on God. There's too many prayer promises where it says, come unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. You have not because you ask not. He says that I'll pour water on him that's thirsty, and this, if you'll seek me and find me when you seek for me with all your heart. So Manoah, he has this attitude, Lord, I want to know. As opposed to the attitude a lot of times we have, Lord, I got it from here. I think I'm pretty well versed on this. Now, I was looking back to some old files that were from funerals I'd done years and years ago, some of the first ones, and I wrote out a lot of stuff, and I was asking different people and asking my pastor and other pastors how to do this and how to do that. And certainly in my lifetime now, I've done lots of them myself. And so if you're not careful, you get the attitude, well, I don't need any other instruction. Well, all of us need instruction. We can all learn. We can all do better. But Manoah, he has this attitude, Lord, how shall we order the child? Amy's, she's going to go over some in the weeks to come to help stay with Carson while Jody's got some training she's got to go through. And Jared and Jody, they want to follow God. I know they do. Brent and Amber Scrawl got the little Jackson not long ago. The Lord put him into their home. And I know that they want to follow God in that. And with the other couples in our church, they want to as well. And they do have the promise of God. When they seek Him, they'll find Him. Will they make mistakes? You betcha. You know who they're like? The rest of us. But love covers a multitude of sins. And that's very true in a very, application sense as well. That love will cover over a lot of those mistakes, because when it's done out of a heart of love and true seeking the Lord, then the Lord blesses in all those things. And so we see their call. But I want you to look over this, not only their call, but then their calm, as we put down here in chapter number 13, but look over verse number 22. The angel, verse 21, the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and his wife than Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And we've all been there. We haven't seen an angel of the Lord, but we've known some good things have happened. And I figured out about when it's done, I should have been paying attention more. And that's about the way Manoah was. Manoah, it seems like Manoah got less spiritual insight than his wife does in this story. And then verse 22, Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die because we've seen God. Well, he saw the angel of God, but he was just being a little, he wasn't as tuned in, I don't believe, as what his wife was. Manoah had this great fear, but we're going to look in the next verse and we'll see that his wife had the great faith. Manoah had that great fear, and then verse number 23, but his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands, neither would he have showed us all these things. Those are the things that when they said, how shall we order the child? He obviously gave a lot of instructions there. Nor would he have showed us all these things, nor would at this time have told us such things as these. So we see that Manoah had this fear, but his wife seemed like she was doing a little better job at trusting in God. So she sets the tone for that trust in God in this relationship. And it would have been easy for Manoah to say, well, she's trying to run the thing. She's trying to order the place. She's trying to do that. But instead, it seems like he just took a spiritual, God-seeking wife as a gift from the Lord. And man, if you've got that, that's what you should do as well. Don't take it as, take it as a challenge, sure. And don't take it as a threat. My mother-in-law was probably the most, if not one of the most spiritual people I've ever known in all my life. And I've listened to her give advice to me. I've listened to her give advice to Amy, the rest of the family, her grandchildren. I've heard her tell Amy and us and other her family, just wait on God's will. Wait on God's will. Don't get in a rush. Just wait in that patient tone, because she'd seen God do so many things. But you know, how many of you understand when we get in a rush, a lot of time we run right ahead of God, as if that's possible, but we run a little faster than he wanted us to go anyway. Now, sometimes we lag behind, but a lot of times we run ahead. I've heard her tell just wait on God. I've heard her tell her grandkids, Maddie and Allie and Jared, just trust Jesus. Just look to Jesus Christ. And so many times, ladies, you have this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful ability just to be that one that sets the tone like a thermostat would in a home. You get to set that that spirit, little s, in the home, in the relationship, in the marriage. And that's certainly what Manoah's wife does here. And she sets that tone to trust in God. And so where you're finding yourself, there's that calm that's coming down. And ladies, you have this wonderful place to let your children and your husband know that the Lord's going to work through this. And sometimes a man just has this idea that we're going to make it happen. We're going to force it. We're going to make it. We're going to go out, kill it, and drag it home. We're going to get it. And that's good. That's God-given. But then it's also God-given for that lady to say, yeah, but we just need to trust God. And then to remind her husband that God's in control of this, just like Manoah's wife did. If God's going to kill us, he probably done it already. Probably wouldn't have received that offering. Probably wouldn't have given us all those. See how she's just given the voice of reason? If God's going to kill us, he probably wouldn't have given us all these instructions. Why would he have given us instructions what to do over these next years if he's just going to kill us? And so that calm comes in there. Now, you know the end of the story. Samson doesn't come out the way that he ought to. He certainly has a lot of great victories, but some horrendous failures as well. And we look at chapter 14, we see the concern that they have. Samson's got his free will. He's going to decide what he wants to do. Verse 1, Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. This is not Delilah. This is the trial run for what he's going to mess up with Delilah later. He came up and told his father and his mother and said, I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me to wife. Which that wasn't the place to go looking for a wife anyways. Those were the enemies. Those were the ones that, and you think, well, what does it matter what region somebody came from? Or why does it matter what race they were, or the Philistines? It wasn't that. It was that those people were false. They followed false gods. It wasn't so much where they were from. Instead, God uses as a synonym for the Philistines would be another way of saying they're unbelievers. They were Philistines, yes, and they were of different areas, but the problem that they had was that they didn't believe in Jehovah God. And so the reason that God said, don't get your wives from over there, was because they didn't share the belief in the God of the Bible. And so then his father, his mother said, verse 3, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren? And that doesn't mean your uncles and your aunts, brethren. That means the brethren, the people of God, the Jewish folks, the ones that know God. Or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised, which is just another synonym for the ungodly. It was uncircumcised as far as physically, yes. But it also spiritually meant that they were far away from where God wanted to be. They were deniers of God of the Bible, the uncircumcised Philistines. And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. So the concern is here that he's going to do what he wants. He's got a free will. But how different his life would have been if he'd have said, you know, Dad, if you think that's not a good idea, you better believe it. I don't think it's a good idea. how different his life would have been if he just listened to his parents. And sometimes our children do things that they know parents don't want them to do, but the parents didn't have enough information to say no emphatically. But it is a wise child, a wise young adult, that looks to see the intent of their parents and say, okay, well, I think that's what he or she would like. And so that's what I believe I should come along in that same position. Isn't that what we're best at doing when we follow God? There are things that are not strictly forbidden in Scripture, thou shalt not. But we want to get so close to the Lord that we spend time fellowshipping with Him, and we want to do as close to what He wants us to do as we possibly can. So their concerns were that he had that desire to do wrong, and he would have been better off to listen. And as if you're a young person in here, young, married or single, you ought to be listening to those godly people that God put in your life. Sometimes it's not your parents, because sometimes your parents aren't even saved. They don't have that Spirit of God living within them, so they're not one that you can trust. They can ask them advice about other things, but not the spiritual things in life. But you certainly shouldn't see it as the time to be the Lone Ranger and just say, I'm just going to go do whatever I want, which is what Samson said. She's the one I want. Go get her for me. And using his dad as his fetching tool, but not using his dad for any kind of spiritual insight or counsel. So we see that their life would have been much different. But I leave us with this, that God gives us these great truths and these principles. Number one, I leave you with what I'd already talked about up in point number one, those commands that God gives to the parents and then the child. This is not a child-rearing section of Scripture, although the whole book, the Bible, is a child-rearing book. But it's not there to say, here's the do's and the don'ts. But it certainly does give you the principles that you can apply to your life to say that there are some guardrails that you are supposed to set forth for your children. And as you set them forth, you won't get all of them right. Now, there's some of them no-brainers. God throws you a few slow-pitch softball right over the plate. You say, I better take that one. I know that one. But there's some other ones you're going to have to figure out, like what time bedtime is. I don't know. It's probably sometime, if you've got Matthew Hensley back there, it's probably sometime before midnight for your two. But I don't know what time it is. That it's not all that's not spelled out. But what I am saying is that God does give parents the position to say, here's some guidelines. And you're going to make some wrong, some right calls, but it is clearly shown out, spelled out in Scripture that you are supposed to make some calls. There is this idea in some parenting that says, well, I don't know. I don't know any better than my child does. You may not know much better than them, but you are in the position you've got to make some decisions. And sometimes you'll figure out they weren't quite the best ones, but somebody had to make a call somewhere. And that's what we find from Manoah and his wife. And so I see that first of all. But then number two, I see, as we just in wrapping it up, I see that calm that God uses Manoah's wife to bring into the situation. And then I don't see him bucking about that. I just see him allowing God to use her in his life to bring de-escalate the situation. And so, ladies, I challenge you to be that one that trusts God, that is that voice of spiritual insight. Sometimes your husband, in such a desire to provide or to lead or to go forward or whatever, he's missing some plain things that God's put forth. And sometimes you got to wait for him to cool off before you can give it. I get that. But you can just be led of the Lord and let that calm come from you and move over to him. And so I just thought I'd wrap up with those two things, that God does give parents the command to make some calls. God did in Samson's parents' life, and he does in your life if you're parents. So I challenge you to take your position and say, well, that's what mom and dads do. They just have to make some calls about things. And then secondly, then ladies, let God use you in that way. Be that one that brings that spiritual. Is she supposed to be the spiritual leader? No, the husband should do that. But in this case, we see that God used her in such a wonderful way, and we ought to be able to strengthen and build each and every one. So I challenge you to put those concepts and principles into your life and trust will be a blessing to you. As we close tonight, I want to pray and then have our ladies come and play. So if you're, as they make their way to the instruments, I'm going to lead us in the invitation. Then I'm going to stop a few minutes early and give us a few minutes of fellowship. But before we fellowship and they make their way, I challenge you to think about this. Many of your parents in this room. And I know that as Amy and I struggled together to see what God would have for our kids, and we're still trying to be a blessing to them. Sometimes it was hard to convince yourself that you had to make the call. But friends, somebody's got to make the call. Because the call's not made, then it just flounders and doesn't work good for anybody. So I try to challenge you to do that, parents. And then ladies, well, take that lesson from Manoah's wife. See the situation for what it is and encourage the people around you that God's still faithful. If he had been going to do that, he probably would have not left us here, but he was used of God to bring that spirit of trust in the situation. Father, bless us now is our prayer. We'll certainly thank you. Lead us, we ask, and we'll thank you for it. As they play, if you're able to, would you stand together with us? Maybe God's working on your heart. Maybe you're that parent. You've been afraid to make a decision. There's so many things in our parenting life that aren't specifically spelled out in Scripture. But there's enough that is spelled out in Scripture to tell you that you've got to make some principles, some standards, some guidelines, some convictions, whatever you want to call them. And I want to deputize you, so to speak, to make those. But then, husbands, let's cherish that wife that God's given us. And when God uses her to bring something to your life, into your thoughts you hadn't been thinking about, you may be Manoah, said, well, God's going to kill us. He's going to take us out of here. And then your wife sweetly comes in and says, I don't think it's going to be that way. Don't be put off by that. Thank God for her. Rejoice. As they play and you pray, if God's dealing with your heart and you want to come to the front, then the altar's open for you. If you're here, you're not sure that you're saved, one last request. Here that you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven. That's not what I taught on at all tonight. But you say, Brother John, I don't know if I'm going to heaven. It's really been bugging me. It's worrying me. Would you step out and come? Let me or somebody just take a Bible and show you how to be sure that that's settled and nailed down in your life. They'll just play one more verse. If God's dealing with you in any way, you come. Thank you so much. You may look this way. What a joy to be in church on a cold night, but thank the Lord. We didn't have any frozen pipes in here at the church. I hope you didn't, and we didn't have any over the house either, but we're thankful that God has protected us in all this, and we could have been so much worse. Could have the power out. We could be looking for heaters to just try to keep us warm, and so thank God for his safety and provision, but we're out just a few minutes early, and so I challenge you not to go anywhere, rush off. You're not held here. We're not locking the doors or anything, but you got a few extra minutes. If you fellowship with somebody before you leave, might be just what you need or might be just what they need. Have a little bit of fellowship before we head home tonight. But God bless you. Either way, you're dismissed.